Welcome to the RR Podcast. We bring you the latest in Toku news, in-depth discussions, and everything else that you could ask for, all with a healthy dose of insanity. So here are your hosts, Shugun Shinobi, Dawson Rider, Jedimon, and Aerosol. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5. Ready? Go!
Hello, and welcome to Riders, Rangers, and Rambles, Season 5, Episode 32, in the year 2014. Cream of the crop.
I had to hold that in the whole time you were doing that, because it's just so fancy. It's just like the finer things club.
That's why it's called cream of the crop. It's fancy. This is why people are leaving. This is why we only have two people. But yeah, I thought of that pun when I was watching it, and then I couldn't remember it all day until I just asked you what his name was, and then as soon as you said his name, I heard cream of the crop in my head. I'm like, got it.
Oh, God. Well, you know, at least it's not like a drive pun. I mean, it is a drive pun, but it's not.
I got one, I think, for next week. A standby one, like, in case some kind of event doesn't happen.
Okay, elephant in the room. It's just the two of us.
Yeah. There is no elephant, unfortunately, actually. That would be more interesting. You'd hear elephant noises.
I can't do elephant noises or else I would.
I can't either. I thought about attempting it and then I was already embarrassed.
So, I know you're all wondering where Kevin is. I know that's really
question.
Important.
There's been a lot of rumors swirling about him this week.
But no, I'm not going to get too much into detail about it. I know he hasn't really wanted to express too much about it on the podcast, but... Brian's currently out this week.
He's posted on his Twitter if you really want to know. So
yeah,
not like he hasn't. He's keeping a total secret. He's a spy. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that.
But he's okay.
Like, Kip Hackman.
You know, we've been keeping up with him, so
yeah,
everything's good.
All goes well. Fearless leader should be back next week. Right now we're just kind of surviving on scraps, trying to figure out how Brian does it all. It's like when mom's not here, it's like, man, how many respect for her? How does she say those episode titles so clearly? She has to text Kevin? How does she do this? And get dinner on the table by 5? I don't know why I picked 5. It's kind of early.
But yeah, with luck, he should be out by this Friday. He should be back next week. Everything should be good. I don't know. I'm waffling around here.
Yeah. Kevin, you know how Kevin be.
Turns out Kevin really is a spy. That's why he's tired all the time.
Yeah. He's got lots of installs to fulfill for the buy more.
Okay. I guess we should move on to one-ups. Unless we had any more pre-show banter to cover.
No, we can do some more banter in other segments.
We'll have to.
We have plenty of things to fill out. There's going to be a segment called Banter, where it's just a bunch of quick-fire Parks and Rec references.
Oh, God. We'll have to talk about Parks and Rec later, because I'm super looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be a good topic to fill out Ramble Time, which is now just going to be called Pawnee Time. It's going to be like a town hall meeting.
Hunter
is an idiot.
So I haven't really been doing much. I've just been catching up on Yu-Gi-Oh! Because I like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Arc 5 is actually pretty good. Once I got over that sort of, like, little hump, it started to really take off. It kind of had the opposite effect that Zexal had on me, where I thought the first 20 or so episodes of Zexal were actually pretty good. And then it kind of got a little bit stale after that point. The first, like, few episodes of Arc 5 just kind of didn't really hit me. Like, I still think the idea of just, like, one guy randomly discovers, hey, we can use pendulum summoning now.
Yeah.
Like, and Because it kind of doesn't make sense when you think about this being a card game and these being, you know, cards that people buy, like, and distribute and stuff like that. But, like, the point I'm up to now is kind of fleshed out this weird mystery that's going on in the background, which I really want to know more about because it sounds really cool.
I don't want to have anything spoiled, but is that whole I can't remember his name, Yuya? To Yuya's thing interesting? Or did it become interesting?
We know the name of the other Yuya. But that's about it. We still don't really know why he looks like Yuya. And there's reason to believe that, like, there's another character out there who looks like Yuzu as well. Because they mistake her for this other character a couple of times.
Oh. So they're just doing a doppelganger's plot from How I Met Your Mother. One of them's a Mexican wrestler. And then you got lesbian Robin. It's going to be fun.
So it's not quite clear what's going on. There is a little bit more fleshed out as to, like what this group of rogue duelists are doing, which Yuya's doppelganger is a part of. Which has just recently kind of tied back into Sora, the blue-haired kid.
Digimon?
No. Yeah, turns out this is actually, like, the backdoor pilot for Digimon Adventure Tri.
Yeah.
But no, it's getting interesting. I'm actually kind of digging it. I just got past the duel with Sora. I won't say who he was dueling, but before that was Gogen Zaka, which is the big, like, dude with the pompadour and everything, who is probably one of my favorite characters now. Just because, I don't know, his dueling style is interesting. He doesn't use any magic. He's like Joey in episode 1 of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Oh, yeah, because he didn't have any magic cards. Or traps. Spells, I'm sorry.
But yeah, it's fun. It's been fun.
Have the action duels remained interesting? Like, have they took advantage of it?
Yeah, they've been... doing more of the same and kind of, you know, them running around picking up action cards and stuff like that. Something I think is really, really a strong suit of the series is the theme of, like, entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, the performance.
The contest.
Because we get to a point in the series where we start to run into those characters with, like, themed decks, which in any other, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Series just kind of seems off. Like, why does this guy use all cats in his deck?
Yeah.
Like, why do we need this? But it kind of makes sense in the context of Arc 5 because they're different kinds of performers.
Yeah.
Like he faces off against a cooking show host. He faces off against a game show host. So it's all like quiz type cards. There's one Sora faces off against like an actor in a musical. So he's like singing his attacks. So I mean it kind of stays interesting with the idea of, you know, performing. And the most recent duel that Yuya had really kind of like exemplifies it, to where, you know, the crowd surrounding them is really getting pumped up, and it really feels like they're putting on a show. Like, they're putting on this performance as opposed to just, you know, standing around dueling, playing cards. I kind of equate it to how, like, back in the early episodes of Gaim when Baron transformed for the first time.
Oh, and everyone was, like, freaking out?
Yeah.
Banana.
And, like, even though we've seen people transform a bunch of times before, that's nothing new. But the crowd being there and kind of the excitement from it made it feel, you know, like a bigger deal. And that's kind of why I like some of the duels in Arc 5 so far, because it just feels like these big stage shows that they're putting on, and it's fun.
I'm glad to hear it's better, though, because, like, I'm not in a Yu-Gi-Oh! Mood right now, but when I get to it, I'm glad to know there's something to watch, because I really do like to watch Yu-Gi-Oh! And, like, after I finished 5Ds, which was a lot of episodes, but it's, like, it was kind of sad because I knew I didn't like Zexal and things didn't appear to be going in a good direction. It's, like, the sad thing with Zexal is that the mysteries that they introduced at the beginning is that I was interested in them. It's just what I had to get through for it wasn't worth it. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to let them finish it and then Wikipedia this bitch. It's like, it was just so obnoxious and they're trying to teach you the game. And I kind of get it because it is kind of a complicated game. It gets more complicated as it goes. But when you know the rules, then you're just kind of frustrated.
There's surprisingly not as much handholding in Arc 5. Yeah. There is a little bit where maybe the characters are explaining things of what's going on, but it doesn't get too bad.
I mean, they always explain what the cards do. Like, even in 5Ds, it's like, I'm like, I'm being entertained by this guy explaining what is happening to me right now. But it's like, in 5Ds, they're like, oh, what does a counter trap do? And it was like, oh my god. And they, like, stop, like, Barney it up. And it's funny because when Yu-Gi-Oh! First started, they really didn't, I don't know if think of doing it or have to do it because they didn't play by the rules. In fact, that was very confusing from young me and my friends who played by those rules, no sacrifices and like weird field power bonuses.
Yeah.
I think one of my friends thought face down attack mode was a thing. So like they didn't play by the rules until like Battle City. And even then it still wasn't completely like it is.
Yeah. It's weird. Early Yu-Gi-Oh! Is weird.
Yeah, it really is.
I've also been rereading the manga, and I was talking to you about this before we started recording, but it's so weird, like, they're not being card games, it's a manga about games, and Yugi's, like, lighting people on fire and killing dudes, and it doesn't mesh with what Yu-Gi-Oh! Eventually became.
Wasn't it originally not even supposed to be always cards? It was supposed to just be kind of random games, and then the cards just took off?
Yeah, because the cards don't show up for quite a while.
And then, that's the case with a lot of things. Like Pokemon, that was supposed to be done after Gen 2, and then it's so popular. Dragon Ball Z was supposed to be done like 7 times.
Because there's like the first few volumes of Yu-Gi-Oh!, which are all kind of like random games, and you have a couple of moments in there with Duel Monsters, or it's called something else in the comics. I don't remember what, but and then like it ends, and then they kind of like do a slight relaunch of the series with Yu-Gi-Oh! Duelist or whatever it was called at the time, where they kind of go into the Dueling Kingdom kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird because like It was obviously just like a gimmick for the manga to kind of like showcase, you know, this is another game, you know, it's sort of like, you know, Magic the Gathering. So he obviously didn't ever think that actual rules needed to apply. He just kind of made it, and then it took off. And of course, once they started releasing the cards, they needed actual rules, which is why like that first season of Yu-Gi-Oh! The rules are so batshit.
Yeah, it's like, and then you're super confused as a kid seeing like the effects of cards that have nothing to do with what they said on the show.
Yeah,
the show's now Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. But let's see, my one-ups. I haven't been up to a whole lot. I finished Assassin's Creed Unity, which I ended up really liking. It's gotten a lot of heat, and I definitely understand the people's complaints about like the technical glitches, but I really didn't have many at all. But I don't understand why people are hating so hard on the game itself. I thought they made a lot of improvements, but it was fun. And I also finally finished Alberanger, which was also pretty fun. I enjoyed it quite a bit. That was such a weird, like, I don't know how our butt club like started and then didn't start, so I just kind of soloed it.
Admittedly, I had no plans on starting up Ranger.
Like, I'm just gonna wing it. I'll just say dinosaurs, transform. They'll think I watched it. But what was I gonna say? It started kind of weird. Like, the first, I don't know, maybe quarter of it had, like, really weird plots, like, almost Tokuger level of weirdness. And I was wondering how it was going to go, but it wound up circling around being pretty good. It still had some really weird stuff going on at times. Like, a good gauge of how weird it is that the Lost and Found in Translation episode with the hair. And it could get pretty weird, but it had a pretty good storyline. Spoiler alert, Wacker Wilson makes an appearance in the finale. I was not expecting that. I didn't know he was that important, so I was pretty happy to see him again. Other than that, there really hasn't been much going on. I've just been kind of doing stuff and things and... You know,
we're so descriptive.
Yeah, like, there's no real, I don't have any stories that happened. There wasn't anything major.
I can't think of anything interesting that's been happening around here. I mean, my neighborhood has kind of gone from crazy axe murdering to just kind of annoying.
That car flip story was, like, the best I've had in, like, forever.
You didn't even say it in the one-ups. You just said it, like, randomly during the news.
Yeah, like, I just thought of it. And now, like, every time I see a car, I'm like, Walmart.
If I do a best of video for this year, that's definitely going in. That has my favorite line from Kevin that I think I've... that he's ever said in the show.
How hard do you have to roll back places to flip a car?
Yeah,
that was really good. For whatever reason, I was just picturing Roy in a hoodie that had the Walmart smile on it and flipping it over. And it had, like, that rollback effect. I don't know. Like, Roy just had to be involved.
Oh, Roy.
Taking over the show.
I read a couple of news articles that said that I don't know the actor's name of Oliver.
Stephen Amell.
He's kind of, like, been hinting. I think he's kind of being misleading on his Twitter by saying, like, well, it was a good run, kind of thing. So people are speculating that he might actually be dead and not coming back, or at the very least going to be gone for a while. But
I mean, there's no way they'd kill off the title character.
Oh, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think it would be interesting if he was maybe out for a couple episodes, and that's how Roy kind of gets his focus. But
yeah, because I'm not sure how they'll do it. Like, they could, like, pick up, you know, when we start and say, oh, it's been 3 months or something, and show that Roy's been working. And I would like to see them maybe not have him around for one episode, or at least not in the city. Like, maybe we see what he's doing, but just to give him sort of more of a realistic recovery and sort of make a triumphant return. I'm pretty sure. I mean, some people say it is and isn't, but I'm pretty sure they're going to do the Lazarus Pit.
Yeah.
Like, Roz is right there. There's no way they're not going to. And, like, I can't think of any other way he's going to pull through that.
I did also read because we were already told over Twitter that Roy was going to be getting a little bit more focus, and I read that apparently the writers actually weren't happy with the fact that Roy kind of took a back seat, and they wanted to do more with him, so they planned on doing more for this, you know,
next half
of the season.
Yeah.
The only like hint they gave was that he apparently has a really good scene with Merlin coming up. So I
can imagine
that.
After he found out what he did to Thea.
Yeah.
I imagine Thea's going to be pretty pissed too when she finds out that she was on that whatever drug. Mind control? That's a thing.
Datura.
I wonder what's going to happen to her, like, as the series goes. Like, is she going to always be a rogue? Would she possibly join Oliver's, like, ever-growing, like, damn Power Rangers team of people? I was wondering, like, if she takes on any kind of identity. I wonder if they'll use Artemis.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that, too. I was actually rewatching Young Justice with my brother, who hadn't seen it before. And he actually mentioned that Artemis in the show sounds a lot like Thea.
Oh, like her voice? Well,
yeah,
obviously. That's
her voice.
Well, I thought you meant like the way like her character description sounds. I guess I saw it that
way.
Well,
just like her voice, like she, they have very similar tones.
Yeah. I could definitely see them doing it. I mean, they don't always play by the exact rules of the show. I mean, Roy went straight to Arsenal, whereas, you know, he started off as Speedy, and they incorporated that you know, reference.
Yeah. But, either way, I look forward to it. I mean, I'm super pumped for everything superhero related coming up.
Yeah. Especially when it's not here, it's like, oh, we have to talk about Toku?
you mean we have to, like, do a Toku podcast? That's so weird.
One of my favorite lines in the descriptions ever was Brian's last week that just said, Flaro forever, Toku is dead. I lost that. Because that pretty much just described the last 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've mentioned it a bunch of times on Twitter, but we're just kind of in this really weak period for Toku, and
yeah,
everything else just happens to be really strong right now. Well, it's not on right now, but it was really strong for quite a while.
It's really strong. Those fan videos.
Okay.
Toku news, I guess.
Speaking of Tokusatsu, I guess we can start on a positive and say that, holy cow, I've forgotten his name. Mach. Clear scans of Mach were revealed. Which, that's cool, I guess.
I like the look of him. The little, like, tire on the side of him kind of bothers me. Like, I feel like I just want to wipe it off. But I do like the look of him. There's, like, you know, the whole Speed Racer bit. But white's my favorite color, so I tend to like white-colored suits. So I have that going. But I'm looking forward to seeing him. I always hate saying that I hope he picks up the show, because the last time I said that was Meteor and he did nothing but make monkey noises. So, but I hope that he has at least a little something more interesting going on.
It's definitely a cool looking suit. He looks like Kamen Rider Stig. but like, I definitely get what they're going for with the look of the suit.
Yeah.
And they nailed it. I mean, it looks really good. I don't have much more to really add to that. It looks neat. I dig it.
Yeah, me too.
And I agree. I do hope it kind of helps to pick things up a bit, but I don't know. I don't want to be like really negative, but I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, so yeah, because that's what the thing is that sometimes it can, like a Six Ranger or a Secondary Rider. I mixed those up again. I thought I did Six Riders and Secondary Rangers again. sometimes they can, but then sometimes they can't. And like, it's usually when I'm putting the most weight into that it doesn't. Like, Forze, I was putting a lot of weight into Meteor's appearance, hoping, and it was a disappointment. So
yeah.
I want to try not to put too much like hope into Mach. But I at least like the suit and like what's going on so far with it.
It is definitely hit and miss, because I mean you have things like Oz, where I think Birth was a lot of fun. I think most people really liked Date, so he did kind of add something to the show. But then you have like, you know, Beast, where people like Beast.
But he didn't really add anything.
He did nothing for the show.
He was like the downloadable content of writers. Like he could just be enjoyed on his own, but he wasn't really important to the plot.
Poor Beast.
And then there was like someone like Terry, where he had his own story, which I don't think I was as interested in as some of the main stuff, but it wasn't necessarily really important to like the main storylines going on. It was more of his own thing. I mean, they had that whole Shroud trying to do her one true pairing of him and Philip, but that didn't work. It was like the Shakespeare of Kamen Rider. But, yeah, so we'll have to see.
Philip's mom kept trying to set him up with Axel.
She was really pushing it. That was her one true pairing. But I'm trying to think of their pairing. What will it be? Tillip? Faroe? I don't know. But yeah, so that's a thing. In more depressing news, we got official confirmation of Superhero Taisen 3,
last year we had Kamen Rider Taisen.
Yeah, they like took a weird spin-off take on it. I don't know. They were going to do Sinister Six and then Marvel wanted the rights. I don't know. It's all messy. But so the third, like, one-titled Superhero Taisen, and it's going to include the most nostalgic writer ever. Such a nostalgic choice, he never even existed. What is it, like, Sango?
Yeah, Kamen Rider Sango. Oh, my God. Kamen Rider 3.
Instead of
these. Yeah, the movie is called Superhero Taisen GP.
Dragon Ball GP! They're going to use the Dragon Ball GT theme, actually.
Nice. It's, yeah, I mean, it's what it is. We've never really cared for shit.
Yeah, I did a whole ramble on it, about, like, my thoughts on it, on what they did wrong, the few little things I thought they did right in the past. I still would love, well, not love, I would love for them to not be doing these, to take the speciality away. But if I had a choice in how they structured them, if they had to make them, I think it would be fine to do an annual team-up between the Rider and Sentai casts. Because it makes sense, they air back-to-back. To me, it would be no different than when the Sentai casts team up with the previous Sentai casts. It could be a fun way to see different personalities interact. But as it is right now, it's always just a mixed bag of whoever says yes this year, and then, like, completely random choices, like this Sango thing. I don't know who they're going to get back. And inevitably, they'll probably have everyone, which I think is a huge mistake. Because even with the first one, I didn't like it. But I could objectively acknowledge that it was neat that it was the first time the Riders and Sentai were all next to each other and they're all there, as meaningless as it was. But now, it was still not special because of how crappy it was done. But now when every year you have everybody in it, it's not special. It's like, why does everyone always have to show up? Why is there, like, a house party every week? Oh, man, these movies.
It is sad when a decade episode is, like, better done than, like, full-on movies. Because, I mean, decade was definitely flawed, but it was still neat to see him alongside the Shinkangers and kind of interacting with them as briefly as he did.
See, at the time, that was really cool to me because it was so new and they only did it once over, you know, for the few years, and now it's so oversaturated. And not only oversaturated, but just the concept of the movie did have potential because it had never been done before at the time, and they had potential to come up with a really cool storyline. And I don't know why the movies have been such trash lately.
So as for, like, details on the movie, it's being written by Shoji Yonemura. Mirakuru. Shoji Yonemura. I cannot do his name. I'm sorry.
Cannot do anyone's name.
It's coming out in March. It will debut Kamen Rider 3. Who is not Kamen Rider V3. He is apparently from a very short-lived comic. Don't correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't care. But apparently he showed up very briefly before Kamen Rider V3, but he was never, like, an official part of the show. So I guess they decided, hey, we're out of ideas, so let's
random.
Just shove him into this shit.
I don't know what they're thinking.
I can't think of words. I can't. This is what this movie does to me. The show of nostalgia is so strong that we gotta make up shit to
you gotta make up non-existent floppy chess people to flop around. They really need to update those suits. God, it was so apparent in Kamen Rider Taisen when they would fight each other or side by side, like, how sleek some of the Heisei ones can look. And even if you don't like the design choices, they still look well put together in terms of, like, construction. And then you got V3 hitting himself in the face with his boobs. It's like, How do they not see it?
I get not wanting to do it for nostalgia's sake, but as we've stated, these movies keep happening. They're annual now. So does anyone really have nostalgia for these characters anymore? Because we see them all the time now.
Like, the first time I got it, like, you know, you want to see the old suits. It's the first time they're coming back in years. Fine. But if you're going to keep making them main characters, I'll make it part of the plot point. Maybe they have to get upgraded suits or something. I don't know. If you're going to keep using them, get them looking fine. We're not be using the nipple Batman in all the movies, are we? No. Imagine, he can't even move his neck. They fixed that problem. Like, in the second one, he's like, Alfred, I can't move my fucking neck. That was, like, the first line in The Dark Knight. He was like, this is a problem. How did no one else before me notice this? To turn my whole body. Oh, Batman.
Christian Bale actually breaks the fourth wall.
How did
none of the other actors know this? Oh, seriously? I mean, I'm the only Batman. What are you talking about?
Abed is Batman now.
So yeah, apparently Minami Kotaro is back also. Who cares? Like, of course old actors are going to be coming back. That's what they do. So
who is it?
Kamen Rider Black and Black RX.
Oh, okay. The name sounded so familiar, but I couldn't place it. Yeah, I remember hearing that a while back. What was it? Rumored it was like Kamen Rider Drive versus the world. Kamen Rider Drive teams up with everybody. The show writers, the people at the bank, whoever. You're just going to stand next to them all until something sticks.
So, apparently, the quote for the movie is, "The strongest and greatest writer in existence is about to be revealed," which just makes me giggle.
Probably a movie exclusive writer or something.
Well, it's three. It's Kamen Rider 3.
Oh, movie exclusive writer, though. Unless they have another movie exclusive writer. You know, I was wondering, because everyone's always like, I mean, obviously the movie will make box office money, and that's why they make it, partly. But they always say, you know, the toy sales line for the movies, but they don't make very many toys for the Superhero Taisen movies.
I don't think they make any.
Like, because
like little trinkets.
Yeah, because I thought of the double Lockseed set. And then I realized that was from the Gaim movie. Or no, was that Superhero Taisen? Fuck. Was it? With 15? No.
15 was from Kamen Rider Taisen.
Yeah, so there we go. See, so that one had like an item that they sold. But like the Superhero Taisen movies that I recall don't have like one like deluxe lock or memory or figure or something like that. Other than just potentially boosting the sales of all those old vinyls running around of all the old writers. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about, you know, politics? I don't know about business.
I love that it says here that the Kamen Rider 3 existed 4 months before V3 showed up. So it's like, oh man.
He's the original number 3. I think that's
pretty much it for the news. I guess the only other thing that I can think of is that Reiko Chiba is going to be attending Lexington Comic Con, but
Terra Ranger, right?
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know why anyone would care unless you're going to Lexington Comic Con, so
or you're a G-Ranger fan. Or those people that like it just because it's Sentai.
Yeah. I mean, admittedly, when we were at Morphicon, it was fun to
You just seem like a friendly guy, and you know, it's nothing against him. I'm bothered by those people that get excited about it, about the con appearances or even the DVDs solely because it's Sentai. Because I hate that Sentai does no wrong mindset. Well, it just bothers me.
The only thing that bothers me is the people who like think that you should be excited.
Yeah, and like say you're not a real fan if you don't support this.
Because if people want to be excited for it, then people can be excited for it. I'm fine with that. It's just don't like tell me that I should be excited.
Yeah.
You know, don't make me feel like a shithead because I'm not.
Because you're a shithead. So let's be mature about this.
Okay. That'll do it for the news. I love how we covered Arrow news prior to covering Toku news.
Yu-Gi-Oh! In the one-ups.
Compounding the fact that this really isn't a Toku podcast anymore.
We're pretty much just sprinkling in Ramble Time throughout. Ramble Time exploded and has been spread all throughout the time slap continuum.
Oh, God. That's stupid. So now it's time for superhero time. First up is Tokyuger, episode 40?
40? I want the, chapters to say that with the question mark.
Yes, it's episode 40. This was a plot episode this week, so that's fun. Also, if you haven't guessed, I'm talking about it myself this week. So
I like the part where they morph.
So admittedly, this was not a bad episode. It wasn't the greatest. I do think that there have been stronger episodes, but there were moments that I liked, which were not the Akira moments. I'm sorry if people are getting frustrated that I still think that's stupid, but I still think that's stupid. But it did reveal that he betrayed them in order to get close to Zed, in order to, you know, finally take them down.
Kind of the classic plot of pretending to be with them to get close to the villain.
But what ended up happening was that Zed actually grabbed and took Akira onto one of his trains, his personal train. And while there, he stole the
apple changer.
Yeah. And he transformed into Tokyu Rokugo.
Oh,
threw himself
cool.
off the train. And used that as a way to get onto the Tokyuger's train.
Oh.
Which, when I saw the preview for last week, and seeing that Zed was going to change, which I really wish they would not have shown, I thought, well, this might just be kind of gimmicky. He's probably not going to do too much with it, but I do appreciate the fact that he used it as a way to get onto their train. He went undercover. He disguised himself as Akira and used it to infiltrate their base. Which was smart on his end. He just kind of saunters into their train, sits down, unmorphs, and he's just like, yeah, it was getting kind of hectic at my base, so I figured I'd hang out here.
It's cracking, bitches. Where's the chick from Deno? You know, the one with the ass. Isn't she supposed to be here?
No, we just got this stupid robot. Oh.
Oh, Britta's in this?
So I did enjoy that part. I'm trying to think of everything that happened. Because there was... Greta is now, swapping places every so often with Zed. I guess she can do that now. So when he gets on the train, she swaps places with him. And she's pleading with the Tokyugers to stop Schwartz.
It's like Ben and Glory.
And there are a couple of moments throughout the episode in which, Akira and other people kind of notice that, you know, Schwartz has changed. He's not fighting to just take down Zed. He's fighting to free Greta. And eventually, Noir shows up and even pleads with Schwartz to help her free Greta. So I appreciate this idea that the villains are kind of changing, but not necessarily into good people. I like that, you know, even though they have the light in them now, it really only goes as far as making them kind of care about each other. They actually like each other and don't want to see each other die. It doesn't make them good people and doesn't make them want to take over the world any less. It just means they actually kind of have a conscience now. Conscience.
Yeah. That's neat.
So I enjoy that part. It kind of makes Schwartz and even Noir, to a lesser extent, a little bit more sympathetic. I was trying to think, like, I know this ended with a cliffhanger, but what was it? At the end, over the course of the episode, like, the villain base has been, like, having earthquakes or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the episode, the villain base rises up from the ground, out of the depths of hell, I guess. and with it rises the tree from the with it rises Yggdrasil.
Baron shows up. He's like, "Bitch, this tree is back."
With it comes the tree that the Tokugers from their past.
Oh.
And they realize that the villain base is actually their hometown.
Oh. Cool. Tokugers have so many cool ideas. Why couldn't it have just been better?
So that's where we left off for this week, and we pick it up next week. So it wasn't a bad episode. I did enjoy it. The only parts I didn't quite like that didn't quite resonate with me were the conversations about Akira and this idea that he doesn't really understand like friendship and stuff like that, which. Uh-huh. Like, I get what they're going for, that they want to sort of showcase that he isn't human, but he's kind of turning more and more. But I don't know. It's definitely something I'd rather be shown than told.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the effort from this episode. I will say that. And I look forward to seeing how they handle next week. So. And with that, we can move on to Drive, episode
10.
Yes.
I know
10.
Numbers. Derf, you know, counting. I thought this was a better episode this week than it has been.
I agree.
It was, you know, we learned a lot more about the plot. It was more of exposition that I was interested in. Like, I was more interested in them telling me stuff. It kind of reminded me of Gaim. But yeah, it was a lot more entertaining because I was invested in what was happening, and we learned Belt's name, which was Krem. Krem, what was it? Something Belt.
Belt.
And it was a funny scene. I liked that they both were able to laugh about how he ended up being a Belt, and calling him Belt's son just kind of worked out. And we found out that him and his friend are essentially Dr. Gero, and the Roimudes are the androids. That's what I took away from it. They kind of are. That's exactly the first thing I thought of. He's like, yeah, we made them, and then they got out and killed us.
All of the Roid Mutes are Cell, because they just constantly evolve. Oh my god.
See? It's pretty much Dragon Ball, but we found out what happened, and Hart was the one that killed Belt, and he's also the one that killed Proto Drive. And so I was really interested to find out about that, and at least gave me a little more investment. It gave us quite a bit of answers in, like, one episode. I'm like, wait, don't blow all your mysteries in one load. Otherwise, I'm not going to be interested to watch any more at all.
Yeah. I agree. I appreciate some more, like, plot detail, I guess.
Yeah. And I was pleasantly surprised with how much I enjoyed the episode, because it's pretty much started with that doctor guy showing back up. And I was like, oh, son of a bitch. He's on my screen again. Why is he on my screen? But he really wasn't around too much after that.
It is cool that the monsters of series are man-made, they aren't always. The last time, I think, was debatably owes, but
Oh, yeah, the greens, because the alchemists made them.
Yeah.
Were Orphanox sort of man made? Weren't they result of experiments?
Or my imagination? I thought it was like an evolutionary mutation.
I think they were doing experiments on them. Because I remember in the beginning there was like a lab and there was like one of them in a tank. I think that there was an next step in evolution or whatever, but it wasn't right because they were dying. Spoiler alert for five. But I said that after it happened. Yeah.
It's been like 10 years, don't you? It is nice to see that they are something other than just like, oh, a mysterious race suddenly appears.
Yeah.
They are man-made. They seem to have been built for some kind of purpose. And it's nice to see that we're getting, you know, one step closer to kind of figuring out what they want. It's still not entirely clear. Hart seems to think that they deserve to take over the world, but
yeah,
who knows what
that's what all
Brain thinks. So,
they had some pretty good fight scenes, and I like that Shinosuke is essentially willing to sacrifice himself to destroy Hart, and he's like, someone else can just take up his drive. It's happened months before.
Yeah.
And it's funny that when he went technique, I thought he was going to, like, identify the heart and then, like, step back and try to shoot it because he has such good aim. But he just identified it and reached in, Regina Once Upon a Time style, and tried to take the heart out.
I'm going to take this.
Yeah, like, oh, shit.
We got more of technique this week, too, and I like it. I like how it works. I dig the sort of robotic, mannerisms that he has.
Yeah.
And I love the shootout that he has with Chase this week, where he's like zooming in on the bullets in real time, and he's just like shooting them with pinpoint accuracy. It was cool. It lasted very briefly, but it was cool.
I think they've done a good job with. I mean, Type Wild is essentially just sort of stronger, but I like how that they've done a good job. I think differentiating the forms and why one would be of more particular use than another. I mean, sometimes there can be more superficial, but in this case, I think so far they've done a pretty good job of that and him sort of recognizing what he needs in a certain situation.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it is nice to see something that isn't just, like, elements.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that writers who had elemental forms are bad. It's just, it's nice to see something different every once in a while.
It's almost like a different model of the suit entirely that just has a different purpose. Different marks of Iron Man armor. Except those don't usually have that type of thing. But just don't listen to me. I don't know anything.
We also found out apparently there is a third, higher up.
Yeah, because three of them are traitors. 16, 17, and 18. But 16, really, he's more gentle.
He just likes birds. I mean, that's all he's really going for. But also, I couldn't help but laugh at this.
When Chase showed up in the library?
Yes. I'm just like, Chase, we're in the library. Do we really have to do this now?
Book-ass book jockeys. But, I laugh because it's, exactly what I complain about. And I felt like all of you guys were going to see it and immediately think of how I was going to hate that. Because that's what Brian said last week. He's like, as soon as he showed up, I knew Dawson was going to say something. But it was, especially funny this week that he didn't even wait for Drive to be on his way somewhere. He just shows up at the library, purple sore thumb sticking out.
I would love it if that just, it kept happening over the course of the series. But it kept happening in just, the more random locations. Shinosuke's just out getting lunch one day, and Chase is just there. He's like, come on, dude, we're in a McDonald's. Do we really need to do this? Can you at least let me get my Big Mac first?
Just at a work meeting, all of a sudden he just shows up. Granted, that would actually be a pleasant turnaround from their just facial expressions, which is their work meetings. I get that it's part of his storyline, and he's sort of trying to figure things out, but it's just to such a degree that it's, comedic and annoying at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, it could be more subtle with it. Like, I would almost have been fine with him showing up at the library if he hadn't stopped Drive every time he was on the way to fight somebody. To the point where I think it happened twice in one episode. Like, the mid-fight and the end-fight. On his way there, he gets pulled over by the damn cops.
And, you know, it's... You already mentioned this, but, like, once you did mention it, I couldn't stop noticing it.
Yeah.
Because... He really does show up every single episode and do primarily the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, once you start noticing it, it just seems really ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
What are you doing here? Come on, go home, dude.
Like, come on, son. Like, I don't mind him being in every episode necessarily. It's just his interactions. Like, I'm fine if, what if he's using an episode having one of the little political scenes with the other Roy Mutes, but then he doesn't need to see Drive every episode or confront him. Maybe he's observing him in battle to try to study his technique. I don't know. But just every time, they need to tone it down. At least until he figures out his life. I'm trying to think if there's anything else to say about this episode. Nothing.
I did end up watching the Drive Special Mission Type Zero. Which,
is that thing that Fize Danny was asking me about?
I think so. It's like 60 minutes long. It was given out like as a DVD to people, which you can really tell because the quality is not very great. I honestly thought this was the Episode Zero thing that kind of like elaborated on Proto Drive until I realized that there's like three of these.
Oh.
And that this isn't that. It's just some random... It's basically just, like, leading up to the events of the mass slowdown thing, which are okay. I mean, we get some scenes with Proto Drive interacting with Beltson, but, I mean, he's transformed, he's not untransformed. So you don't see who he is, he's just there. But that's about it. Like, he fights Captain Jack Sparrow, and then it just kind of ends. I mean, to its credit, it did show the Roid Mutes before they were all kind of evolved. And it showed that they were launching, like, terrorist attacks. And
they threatened to shut down the interview. They did it. It was the Roy Mutes.
They had apparently done so like before, and this was, you kind of saw them all like in a big group, sort of congregating. That was about it.
Yeah,
about 16 minutes of that, and only maybe like 10 minutes of it was original footage. A lot of it was just like footage we had already seen in the show, so.
Looking forward to seeing the Episode Zero thing, though. At least sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I want to know more about Proto Drive. It's not really elaborated on in the show.
Yeah, but we don't know who he was. We know that it's the system, the old system, somehow tied to Chase.
I will say it is a little bit annoying that if it doesn't show up in the show, that we have to rely on this Episode Zero to know anything about it.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, I guess it never does have a huge impact, but like the Sentai movies, for us, more so, because we have to wait so long. But I mean, I'm sure there's kids or fans that can't go to the movies or just didn't get to, but it's never a huge impact. Like that negative Aubrey and Elle appeared. I haven't watched the movie yet, so I still have to watch it. But it appeared in my final episode. There was like one line. They're like, oh, yeah, it was the thing that attacked over the summer. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot I didn't watch the movie yet. Thanks, spoiler alert. Thanks for spoiling Fize's plot in the middle of Alberanger. Now I'm going to ruin everyone else's lives on the podcast.
So that's pretty much Drive. I don't know if you had anything more to say about it.
It was an enjoyable episode this week. I hope they sort of continue to be enjoyable. I guess I wouldn't hope that it's not enjoyable, so it's kind of a generic thing to say.
It is interesting that this has not quite, but more or less, become a three-parter.
Yeah.
We went on last week about how it was a one-parter, and it was nice to break things up for a while, and then oh, hey, this is a continuation of last week. Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like a three-parter, but it's confusing because it doesn't rely so much on like an episodic mystery to tie it all together. It's not like the painting one or something where that's like the main focus.
Yeah.
So Drive's structure is all over the place. Spent so much time trying to figure out what it would be when it was announced, and we still don't think we figured it out.
So that'll do it, I guess. Yep. I just dropped something. Oh god, I'm under my desk now.
No, don't leave me, I'm the only one here.
Okay. Now it's Brian usually does this jingle.
Yeah. Oh dear god,
it's
dear lord.
Ramble time.
Yes. It is indeed that time. So this will be pretty random. Most of the shows we watch aren't on or we aren't watching them. I don't think I remember what Pokemon was about. Oh, something about I don't know. Kevin's not here to bounce off of.
Well, I mean, I didn't watch it. So.
There's something about not Silas. Silas isn't even right. Just stop me now. Turtles, I don't think is on. Korra, neither of us have watched it. I'm still just going to wait for the DVDs and watch it all in one shot.
I don't think any of the four of us are caught up on it.
Yeah, I think Kevin has been, because last week I'm like, we should all just wait, and Kevin said, fuck you, but then he says that to him when I say good morning, so it's hard to tell.
He also said last week that he was two episodes behind, so...
Yeah, that's true. I don't know where he is now. He's asleep now, but I mean, I don't know where he is in the show. But I checked into, like, on my Xbox One to see if they had the Nick app, but they don't. I've seen people talk about it, so I'm going to assume it's for 360, but I don't want to watch it on my 360 because it's like a lawnmower when it's on, because I still have the first model. So I just want to have like the best experience possible, of course. So I don't want crappy Nick.com stuttering or lawnmower noises. I just want to watch.
My PS3 kind of does that.
Yeah, mine too.
It gets pretty loud. It doesn't start out loud, but after it runs for about 45 minutes, it'll get really loud.
360 is louder, but the PS3 gets like that too. I have like all the original models. It's like all the old gals just hanging out here. Because I just can't wait, I guess. And I just have to get one.
I had one of the original releases of the PS3, and then all of a sudden, I don't know why, it would no longer allow me to connect to the internet, which means it could no longer update. Which means I could no longer play any games because it could no longer update.
Mine wouldn't lock me out of my PlayStation account, so I lost all my achievements. So I had to start a new one for PlayStation 4. So that's fun. Or trophies, I guess. They're achievements, let's face it. But let's see. Yeah, Flaro is not on. So well, I guess Ramble Time is there was a little Parks and Rec teaser for season 7.
Was there a teaser?
Yeah, didn't you see it?
No.
It's the one with
This
is a live watch.
I saw that they had finished up
filming. Yeah,
filming it. I do love some of Aubrey Plaza's tweets, where one of them was just like, "And I will miss April Ludgate most of all." Because she allowed me to wake up and be a bitch every morning.
Yeah, she said, like, I could be in a bad mood every day at work. It was great.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
What?
I apologize to Brian in post.
What?
Because if I do this with the recording software that I have, the audience, are going to hear it because it records everything on my computer as opposed to just, like, recording the Skype.
Oh.
So if I play this, they're going to hear it really loud and clear. So, if Brian doesn't edit this out, enjoy.
Enjoy. Parks and Rec trailer.
The farewell season of Parks and Recreation comes to you from the distant future. The year 2017.
Good lord.
Take my hand. Let's get into bed like the Notebook.
A time when everything's changed.
I'm a mogul now.
I have my own TV show.
Ninjas attack!
I go by Terry now. Said my real name is Gary, and they said, who cares?
This January, get a glimpse of the future.
It's like a reaction video. It's audio.
Parks and Recreation, the farewell
aerosol
season.
Aerosol reacts to Parks and Rec.
On NBC.
So Andy's got his own TV show now.
Apparently.
And Jerry just decided, you know what, who cares?
Yeah, I love Terry. How he just says, well, I go by Terry now, but my real name's actually Gary, and they said, who cares? I still absolutely love that what could have easily been a one-off joke about his name being Larry at the beginning of last season went the whole year, and eventually Leslie just assumed he did it. He changed his name for some reason.
I have always loved that about Parks and Rec, where they keep what is essentially like a series Bible that tells them everything that they establish within the series so that they can always go back to it.
Yeah.
I do love that, because I love continuity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that so much. Did you see, this was a while back, that they announced that they'd be airing it in hour-long chunks?
Yeah, I'm happy because I like that I'll be able to watch an hour of it, but I just think it's sad that they'd want to burn it off so quick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like happy for me, but sad for that it's not recognized. Same thing with Community. It's like all these shows just aren't recognized, and it's just kind of sad. I mean, I'm happy they gave it a final season, but it's just like, it's still.
Because, I mean, we've waited however long to get the final season, and now it's coming, and we'll be done with the series by the end of February.
Yeah, it's kind of like with Korra. It's like, it's nice to watch it all at once when I'm able to, but I also like to stretch it out so I have, either like longer I know the show exists.
Which, I mean, it's already sad enough that we're only getting, like, 13 episodes.
And, yeah.
I don't know.
It's always hard when they renew it for a final season and the episode order is shorter, because you're happy that they decided to do that, but at the same time, you kind of want more. Like, Continuum's getting 6 episodes to wrap up, and it's like, I'm happy that we're getting it, but can we get 10? At least, come on. It's a lot of time travel stuff to wrap up in 6 episodes. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be an interesting season. I like how they, at least in some bits, might sort of take advantage of that being in the future thing for some comedy.
Yeah, I saw a couple of interviews with them, how they mentioned that they're going to be taking a very subtle approach to it. How obviously they can do a lot with it being in the future, but they don't want it to be just like,
here's a hologram.
Yeah.
Teleportation, which would be funny, but
so they
wouldn't seem like the show.
They mentioned that in terms of like advancements, they want to be kind of logical about it.
Yeah. Like April looked like in that preview, she had like a tablet like they have on Drake and Josh where it's like a clear screen.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why they decided to do that on Drake and Josh, but that reminded me of that. Did you see in that scene with Terry, there was a big poster of Ben in the back that said Man of the Year? So I'm curious how that comes about.
I wonder if that's what they were heading towards for, you know, in the finale, the previous season finale. Because they were heading
towards an event.
Down in the elevator to something. Like he was all dressed up in a tux. So.
Yeah, I forgot about that, so that should be interesting. It'll be the most interesting season, I think, just because it's got the most drastic changes from one to another in terms of what everyone's placement is. I know that Chris and Anne are coming back for one episode, which I assumed they would.
I think it'd be a shame if they didn't.
Because there was an interview about, you know, they were asking, you know, who's coming back, and they said, well, we can't say everybody. They said, essentially said, you know, we had a list of people, and there was some we could get back, some we couldn't. He said, I'll say things like, you know, you're never going to see a season of Parks and Rec without seeing John Raphael once. I am really curious. Like, as much as I really don't care for the character at all, I'm really curious if they're going to bring Brand Antiquids back for an episode. Like, I don't know why I can't stop thinking about it, because he's so boring. But I think the main reason I'm curious is because they brought Devin back from The Office for like a 3-second cameo. And I completely forgot about him. He was fired early on in the series in favor of Creed. But he was such a minor character, you could easily forget about him, that I'm And Brand Aniquitz was a character for 2 seasons, so I'm kind of curious. And they, like, never mention him, like, yeah. at all. Like, they mention side characters that aren't on. They mention Chris and Anne quite frequently after she left. I mean, obviously it was more of an impact on Leslie's life, but they, like, never mention it. It's like he never existed.
The funny thing is, he didn't, like, move away or anything. He just stopped working there.
Yeah. It's kind of like a lot of shows do that. It's kind of funny. He just stopped hanging out with them. You're just so boring.
I always think it's funny to see the fans who get really upset that they won't acknowledge him anymore.
Yeah.
It's like you really like him that much? Really?
Yeah. Like there's not much reason to mention him.
He's so boring.
But it's just kind of funny the way it's almost as if he never existed, to the point where, with the exception of now, when I'm curious if he's coming back, when I would cycle through reruns, when I would hit a season 2 episode and all of a sudden he'd be there, I'm like, oh yeah, it was like a big comfy couch moment every time I saw him. It's still funny how different the first season was. It's like the story of Parks and Rec is about a group of people that have slowly been coming out of a drug state. They were started off a season drugged and then just slowly came out of it.
It would be hilarious if, like, they pulled a Community and that season was just like the gas leak season.
I read a rumor that they thought about. Because at the end of season 3, Abed got in his little tiny dreamatorium thing. I heard a rumor that they almost thought about making season 4 a dream, but they decided just to embrace it. But I liked some things in season 4. That's going to be a thing, too, in January. Season 6 of Community is going to happen.
How easily accessible is that going to be, though?
I have no idea. I know the name Yahoo Screen now, but I have no idea how I'm going to be able to watch it. I'm going to assume it's not a paid service.
I hope.
Yeah, me too. If it's like a paid thing where it's commercials, it's free. I'm fine watching commercials. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out, though. Because I thought they did a pretty successful job last year with, you know, we lost a couple characters, but I thought they did a good job of filling it out and making it still feel like it, and I think they'll be able to do it again. To be honest, I like Shirley, but I don't see her as big of a gaping hole in the show as, like, Troy, who I loved his comedy, where Shirley just kind of ran around and said, that's nice. But I'm looking forward to seeing it. Everything's ending.
A sad state.
Yeah. I still need to catch up on New Girl. You should watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, though.
I want to. If it was on Netflix, I totally would.
There's a DVD of season 1.
DVDs. I gotta, like, go out and buy it. And
talk to people. See them. But it's really funny. Like, it's only gotten better, and, you know, it's done by the same people, so...
When's the last time you watched New Girl?
The Guys' Night episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was that before Thanksgiving?
Yes, because I haven't watched the Thanksgiving one yet. Because I usually watch it on the on-demand service, but I actually DVR'd that episode but had to delete it to make room for something. So I'm planning on catching up on that next. I wanted to do Brooklyn Nine-Nine first because it's been even longer since I watched it, and it's honestly really funny. And they have, like, well, it's kind of like when you see Judd Apatow movies and stuff where they have cronies that they use, like, even the main character, I'm blanking out, Adam Sandberg. That's not right. Andy Samberg. I merged him and Adam Sandler together because of that movie they did. He was, like, the really loud screaming guy in Parks and Rec.
Yeah. I know who he is. I've seen several episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked what I saw. I didn't keep up with it.
Yeah. And, you know, they had Daryl from The Office. Has been in a couple episodes now. And Andy was in an episode playing a detective called, he was like Detective Donger, but the way it was spelled, it looked like it should be Danger. So Jake thought it was going to be really cool to meet a guy named Detective Danger, and then it was just Donger. But so, yeah, it's pretty funny if you ever find a way to catch up on it. Maybe find that site you watched you know, really like backdoor era websites where it was like Singaporean gangs or something. I don't know. I was just trying to think it was really ethnic.
It was pretty bad, though. Like, if Hulu... Does Hulu have every episode of it?
I don't know. I haven't been to Hulu in forever.
Hulu's... I fucking hate Hulu, by the way. If anyone out there is curious, I hate Hulu. Oh, snap, they do.
Yeah, oh.
They have all the episodes. I guess I'll be catching up on this then. That's good. That'll give me something to watch while I'm playing.
It'll give us something to talk about, and Brian can be like, I understand what you're talking about. Brian, we miss
you. Does he watch it?
No. But like, I was talking about like before he watched The Office and stuff, where you and I would just sit here and talk about things that happened in Raising Hope or The Office. And Brian was like, I fit in. But he'll watch it eventually. Let's see. What other random pops can pull in?
I've actually been rewatching early episodes of New Girl.
Uh-huh.
And it's so weird because not only does Cece date Oliver Queen in the first season, but do you remember it's like episode 3 where they go to the wedding?
Oh yeah.
And Schmidt is hitting on this woman who was in AA. It's Laurel.
Oh, Jesus, I didn't know the whole cast of Arrow was in it.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is that I watched this after Arrow and I didn't notice it when I watched it. The hell, Wreck-It Ruby? I'll have to go back and rewatch those and just to see it, just because it'll be funny. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else from Arrow in there. Next thing you know, Colton Haynes will be in it. Thea will show up. That's really funny. I'm trying to think of any random topics about Ramble Time.
I don't know.
Spider-Man's still up in the air. They don't know what they're doing with him.
It's really unfortunate.
Like, it is.
I do feel bad for Andrew Garfield because
he is the great Spider-Man.
I think he did a good. Yeah, he did a good Peter Parker. So,
Like the Amazing Spider-Man movies, I was super resistant to them when they came out.
Yeah, you were.
No, but I really enjoyed both movies. I mean, both had their flaws, but I think. I hate to use that word deserves, but I think it at least deserves to wrap up the trilogy, which is all I really want. Yeah. Sony for these reminds me of me when I set up a display of figures, but I notice someone and I can't resist touching it, and then I ruin the whole thing and everyone falls over.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
You cut out a bit there.
Oh.
So the audience is just like hearing a like little snippets of it because it's just like Sony, and then
it's
I
like
kept touching it,
the ham, oh,
and
God.
Then it kept falling over. And I'm
that's
just
how
like,
it works.
What?
Well, like when I'm doing a display, and it's perfect, and then I notice somebody's head's turned a little bit, and I can't not bother it. That's what it's like with Sony. Is like they have the Spider-Man, which could just sell itself, but they can't not touch it. Like what happened with Spider-Man 3 when. They forced him to do Venom. He did not want to do Venom. I really love Venom, and I was looking forward to seeing him. But if he did not want to do Venom, I don't want to see someone that doesn't want to write Venom do Venom.
Yeah.
I'd rather see a good movie. And with this one, I think I enjoyed it. And for the most part, I think they pulled stuff off. But they were – you can tell both with this movie and with the future of it, they're sort of forcing this whole we want to do an expanded universe thing. And I think that it's unfortunate because it had the potential to be a really good trilogy, and I would love for them to finish it out. I don't know – because the original plan was Spider-Man 3 and then Sinister Six movie. I don't know how a Sinister Six movie would have worked on its own. I thought it could have just been Spider-Man 3, Sinister Six, and just had them as the villain.
Yeah.
I don't know. So they had – there's, like, crazy rumors coming out at all the time. There was, like, an Aunt May movie.
Yeah. Oh, God. I was just like, going to say that. The real question in all of this, like, debacle is what happened to the Aunt May movie? Like, is
like,
that
really,
still
safe? That's all that really matters to me. If they squash this, I'm going to just give up on the Marvel Cinematic Universe altogether. No, and then there was, like, the Spider-Woman movie rumors. I don't know. I really just wanted them to do Amazing Spider-Man 3. I would have just been fine with them doing the regular movies. Because I personally kind of liked having three separate studios doing it. Because as much as I love how connected all the Marvel movies are and them all leading towards something, I like that there was a movies that weren't leading towards something. I mean, in terms of like team ups or whatever, and the Spider-Man movies were just focused on Spider-Man and his villain. But I really just want them to do Amazing Spider-Man 3, and then they can do whatever the hell they want. Can we just finish it and have a movie where someone doesn't die at the end? That's all I want. I want a Spider-Man movie that doesn't end with a funeral. Is that so much to ask?
You know, I was just thinking about how, like, insanely stupid this dilemma is. When you really think about it, Marvel can't use its own character.
Yeah.
Because Sony has the rights to use it in the movies. And it's like, the whole system is like really messed up. It's so messed up that Marvel can't even use a character that it owns.
And they can't still learn.
Because of that, they're in this dispute. And, you know, because of that, Andrew Garfield might lose his job.
Yeah. It's really a messed up situation. And they can't even say the word mutant in the Avengers. That's really dumb. I mean, how stupid do they think the general public is that if they say the word mutant in the Avengers and in the X-Men movies, their mind is going to explode right there on the spot? Like, it's so dumb. Like, the fact we have two Quicksilvers existing at the same time. I don't know. It's kind of like how they can't even mention Batman or anything, like certain things close to it on Arrow.
Yeah.
Which I just think is really dumb. I guess maybe it's just because I'm so used to juggling so many different universes in my head, some multiples. I mean, the main thing we talk about, Toku, which apparently not today, but for every Ranger series, since G-Ranger, we have two characters for every suit, at least. Some of them three, so it's like, I don't understand why people can't comprehend it. But I hope they resolve something. Like I said, I would love to just see them do Amazing Spider-Man 3 and sort of wrap up their little trilogy. I mean, aside from the foreshadowing of the Sinister Six, the ending scene of 2 wouldn't have been a bad scene to end on. But I would just like them to wrap it up, and if they do bring it over to Marvel, I hope they keep Andrew Garfield. I don't know why they wouldn't want to. Like I said, for me, I was really resistant to the reboot, And I ended up loving it. So, and now I've accepted it, and now I would be even more resistant because this is even closer to the last reboot than The Amazing Spider-Man and the original trilogy was.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I'm going to try not to be as much of a hater as I was before, but it was already super close there, and now it'll be even closer here. And we just got the general public used to a new Spider-Man. It's like, it would be such a dumb move to do it. I don't know. Maybe they should do something different. Why don't they do the Black Spider-Man?
Yeah. I'd love to see Miles Morales in something.
Just make it Donald Glover. Just try it out in the morning. I don't know. But that could be cool. Like, why not just let Andrew have his individual movie and then do the different Spider-Man for there? I don't know. But it'll play out, I guess. I almost kind of wouldn't want to see him in Civil War now, though, because it seems like he would just be thrown in there. I guess that would be his debut movie in terms of the universe, but... Oh, words. Points. Discussions.
I wish I had more to add.
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate circumstance.
It just
kind of sucks.
Yeah. It's just that before all this, it baffled me in general that they're like, oh, crap, we better push this. I don't think we can sell Spider-Man. I'm like, the movie, I mean, it did less than some of the other ones, but it did not make money. At least I think X-Men is doing okay. I think they're fine right now. They did good with Future Pasts. I think they got a crossover going with Fantastic Four or something. I don't know. But at least no one's trying to steal them.
Okay, so earlier, I think it was earlier this week, I sent you a message on Twitter saying that... The person who claimed to know...
He a couple of days later, he mentioned me on Twitter with that same thing you sent me.
Well, the... the girl who on Tumblr who claimed to know, and she does know Derek Wyatt. She's actually posted pictures with him. So there is a possibility that she does actually know a little bit of what's going on, but according to her, it's a reboot that's coming. Yeah. And, you know, that's all speculation. You know, it's, I'm not going to say whether or not that's confirmed one way or the other, but I did notice, like a day later, she got a message on her Tumblr from a Ben 10 fan asking her to sign a petition. They had started a petition already to get Cartoon Network to change it from a reboot to a continuation.
For these damn petitions, man.
I'm just like, you don't even have confirmation that it is a reboot. So right now, you want to petition to change something that is hypothetical.
Yeah. Hypothetically stop this hypothetic madness. That's dumb.
I almost ranted about this on Twitter, because I've been seeing these damn petitions everywhere lately. And it's so annoying. We see them in the Power Rangers fandom, where there was a petition to change Super Megaforce, right? To redo it.
Would redo an entire season. Yeah. There was another one that was like, do another team up with people that didn't get to come back. I'm like, at least that premise is more plausible than having them redo an entire 20 to 40 episode series, depending on how you see it.
It's just so many of these things seem like they're being made by people who are just downright delusional.
Pretty much.
Because it's just like, do you really honestly think that you would succeed with this? Do you really think that you petitioning to get this change that you want, that is completely absurd, would work? Like, why would anybody ever listen to you, even if you did get all of like these names on your petition, which I highly doubt you will. But I actually saw another petition on this website. I read this manga. It's called My Hero Academy. It's only been around for a couple of months. And of course, one day when I go to the site to read it, I see this thread that has been started where it's petitioning to get this female character in the series to be changed to the main character. And I'm just like, why do you feel the need to petition for this?
Why this?
This character is not mistreated. In fact, she's given a lot of screen time. Like, what possessed you to think that she needed to be the main character all of a sudden? And why on earth do you think that this would ever reach the creator of the series in Japan? And this would somehow persuade him to change his mind and edit his series? That is so insanely stupid.
I can't think of any petitions I've heard of like this that have ever done anything other than be an annoyance.
Yeah, why would they do anything, though? It's so stressful.
People are frustrating.
I shouldn't get so mad at dumb people, but I do.
It's hard not to. You're just sitting there minding your own business, read a dumb comment, and it's all over. Like, that's it. I do hope that we hear something official about Ben 10. Even if they just say it's over, I just want to know one way or the other.
Yeah.
It was just so unceremonious. I could definitely see the reboot thing being plausible with the way they handle Omniverse in a way that they almost wanted to make the audience forget about it. Because, you know, to the people that weren't following it like us, or the other fans that were following it, it's been off the air for like over 6 months now, so I could definitely see them rebooting it next year after it's out of people's minds a little bit.
I mean, my God, they aired it at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
5 a.m. on a weekday.
Got
not
RPM.
Even the weekend. Yeah, I am curious to see how a reboot would go.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what they would change.
Yeah.
I don't know, aside from just like the aliens, which I guess you could easily change, be it the appearance or just the lineup.
I was wondering if it was going to be like the same names or recognizable names, but with complete redesigns even further from Omniverse, or they would just be completely new aliens. And if we did get completely new aliens, would we ever see old ones again in any form?
Yeah. And I'm also curious, like, how much of the story would be the same? Would it still be about a 10-year-old kid who goes on a camping trip with his, you know, cousin and grandfather and just happens to find this device? Or would they actually take it in a different direction and do something completely different with it?
I imagine it'll have to be pretty different. Like, I wouldn't say, like, crazy, like, completely opposite different, but I imagine even though they're trying to get it out of people's minds, if that's the case, that it would still have to be different enough to be... Because I can't imagine them starting over with such a similar premise.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see them still being aliens, still being Omnitrix, but maybe he's not 10, maybe he's 11. Maybe he got it... That's way different already. It's a completely different age.
Ben 11? Oh, man.
Salt tweens. Saltine for tweens. I don't know why I thought of that randomly. Seems unnecessary. But I'm really curious. Like, I almost wanted to be a reboot for sure, just because I'm curious where they would go with it.
Yeah.
Instead of Ben versus the universe or whatever the hell they were planning. Ben Tyson GP.
It turns out there was a missing person called Bertha 13. I don't know.
13.
I was trying to think. Like, there's Kevin 11. Oh, no, I guess it would be 12. 12 comes after 11.
Murph Durf. It would be amazing. Murph Durf is my favorite Ben 10 universe.
Oh, God. I want Murph Durf now. I do know that Derek Wyatt's apparently working on something else, so regardless of what it is, it's probably not going to include him in any
good
way.
Like, he did some cool stuff for it, and the art style grew on me, and I like a lot of the designs, but I hated how much influence he had over it. I still, Brian mentioned it, I don't know how an art director had that much influence over the plot. I've never seen something like that before. I know that they can have impact on the design, obviously, saying, hey, this might look better if this guy's spikes, not by his penis. Like, oh, thanks, but not, oh, hey, can we just rewrite this guy's entire storyline and throw away all the work these other guys put into the show? Sure. Where are they? They're standing right here. Yeah, your guys' story was trash.
Periodically, I will go and I will search for Ben 10 under, the news setting.
Yeah.
And I'm doing so right now, and the first four things you find are Ben 10 animation writer, you know, honored at Writers Guild. You know, okay, fine. The next two are about a basketball player. I guess it's just some dude named Ben who has the number 10. But the fourth one, I'm guessing this is like some dumb spam site, but Ben 10 is kind of a superhero, right? That's the headline of it.
This is the news we have right now on the future of Ben 10. Somewhere in the world, a kid was spotted near the number 10, and Ben 10 might be a superhero. I don't know. This is what we have.
Oh my God, I gotta read this one. Ben 10 bashes lover in church.
That is the reboot I want to see.
A 28-year-old quote-unquote Ben 10 allegedly went berserk, bashed and humiliated his sugar mummy.
See, these are the hidden reboot details that we didn't hear before. It's going to be a combination of Ben 10 and Jersey Shore. It's going to be brilliant. Oh, man. Oh, Ben 10, what happened to you? All right, I think that's pretty much it. We've exhausted all of our random topics.
I unfortunately didn't really have any sort of food-related topic to go off of this week.
Food is good.
It is good. I eat it to survive.
That is a fact. That is a truth fact.
I mean, the most I've, like, eaten that's different from my regular routine this week is... I got this bag of chocolate-covered almonds and a box of Golden Grahams.
I didn't do anything differently. I should have done more. We have to have homework from now on every week to just go eat random foods. So we have stuff to talk about. That happens to Ramble
go
Time.
Eat stuff and then come on here and talk about it.
Like, instead of watching stuff for Ramble Time, we eat stuff for food time. It sounds like a much more delicious homework choice. But I guess that means it's time for Final Thingies MP3.
Yeah.
Final Thingies!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
I was maybe contemplating doing the Final Thingies thing, but I... No.
Brian usually just says it. I'm just trying to follow in the footsteps of motherfucking God. It should be up this week sometime, of the year votes on the Facebook page.
Unfortunately, just because of the circumstances, it didn't go up this week.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to put it up, or else I would have just done it in Brian's place, but...
I don't know how either, and I also wasn't sure, like, exactly what he decided on, because he decided on the finalists. Yeah, that'll be up this week. I don't know if we're going to push when we're going to do the show or not, but we're still doing it, so just keep an eye out for it. That's why there's not going to be any Facebook questions or anything like that until after sometime the first of the year. So I hope you've enjoyed Dawson and Aerosol in the morning. Nights 2.